may come as a surprise to many of you folks here, but I was not always the model child. I heard a woman tell me one time that her husband was a model husband. She said, not a working model, but a model husband. But Mama was never too tough. There was never a sacrifice that was too great for her when it came to the kids. As a little boy at about 4 years old, I had flannel pajamas on and was playing with matches and caught my pajamas on fire. I went screaming, "Mommy, Mommy!" on fire, up in flames. And she, as she came, saw me and came to me, she reached down and picked up a rug off the floor and wrapped that rug around me, smothering the flames and saving my life. I still carry a big scar on my side from that morning when I was 4 years old. That was my mama. You know, there was a phase in my life that I averaged about 5 whippings a day. I'm just telling you how it is. And that phase started when I was about 2 years old, and it ended when I was around 17. So, but my mama let me know, much to my surprise and to my chagrin, that I was not the center of the universe. She loved me. She encouraged me. But she let me know that it wasn't all about me. It's hard for a mama to remember that about their kids. I broke my mom. I'm looking for my water. I broke my mama's heart when I got kicked out of school. Obviously, it wasn't my fault. And I broke her heart again when I got kicked out of school the second time. Valley View School in south of Chicago. Romeoville, Illinois, raided our lockers, and in mine they found some homemade brass knuckles, a chain, and some other things they referred to as gang paraphernalia. I mean, duh. And cigarettes. Cigarettes. I was almost 13. Why were they worried about cigarettes? Well, I decided I wasn't going home that night. So me and my hoodlum friend, Bobby Hicks, we thought just how cool it would be to hop a train along the Des Plaines River. Ride it into downtown Chicago where he had some friends that were worse than we were. My. Part of the reason that I left, I think, I saw myself as just being that cool kid. But another part of the reason that I didn't go home is because I was ashamed to show myself to my mama. I knew what it'd do to her, what I did. Chicago police and one of my school principals brought me home about daylight the next morning. They found us in the middle of Chicago, got a name of Bobby's old buddy. Floyd might have been some of Floyd's kin. Rex Parks was that fellow's name. We were staying at his house. Well, through all of that, my mama loved me. My mama forgave me. And you see, motherhood isn't just rejoicing in your child's accomplishments. It isn't just putting them their pictures on Facebook because of some glorious thing they did athletically or scholastically at school. Because there's another side of that story. I don't know too many mamas that puts a mugshot on Facebook of their children. Because it's too painful. It's painful and it hurts. and you still love them as much as you did when they were doing all the good things. You love them in sickness and sufferings and setbacks and sorrow and sadness, heartaches and heartbreaks. Nothing that can ever diminish the role of that a mother plays in a child's life. Hey, the hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world today, folks. Some in the culture of this generation have sought to diminish or change the role of mothers in today's society. A role that God ordained to be so sacred, so sweet, and so special. The destiny of any people is fostered upon the role of godly mothers. Can you imagine, for a moment now, let's get to the story of Mary and Jesus. Can you imagine the Virgin Mary? What went through her mind, exactly what she was thinking of at the thought of being chosen of God to birth the Christ. Man, that had to go around her head like, as we used to say, like a four-way cold tablet. Man, what was going through Mary's mind? The angel told her that she was blessed and highly favored, but I bet that she was also highly scared. What is this all about? She wasn't a rich woman. No place to stay. Homeless. A lot of folks talking about her because she was pregnant. Unwell. Man, can you imagine what going through her mind? The angel told her she was highly favored and blessed. The angel told her, that holy thing which shall be born in thee, of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Blessed, highly favored. It says in Luke 2:34, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. They're speaking against Jesus Christ and the world around you today. This child of Mary held the very future of Israel. Some would stand and some would fall. She was also told that her child would be that sign spoken of against. What a thing. I don't want my children spoken against. Anyone ever had a child that folks spoke against? Then Mary was told in Luke 2:35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In Luke 2:19, it said, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What she was going through. You see, you mamas know and understand that when your child suffers, you suffer. And Mary, this blessed and highly favored mother, must also endure suffering. When that baby of yours suffers, you suffer right along with that baby, whether that baby's 6 months old or 50 years old. And if you could, you'd even take their pain for them, if there's a way you could do that. Mary watched this child grow. Jesus, as the Son of Man, he submitted himself to Joseph and his mother's discipline. You know, the Bible, when you see the reference, it's not Jesus and his mother and father. It's Jesus with Mary and Joseph. See, the Lord's heavenly Father was his father. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. It's always referred to as Mary or his mother and Joseph. Galatians 4:1, now I say that the heir, see, he submitted himself willingly as a servant. He came and identified with mankind. He went through childhood as any other child would. Galatians 4:1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Jesus listened and obeyed his mama and daddy. Stepdaddy, I guess is the right term there. But then the Lord also was the Son of God, not only the Son of Man. And he had to be about his Father's business. When Jesus was 12 years old at Passover in Jerusalem, he heard his father's call, and Mary had lost track of him. They didn't know where he was. And Luke 2:46, it says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." And he said, in Luke 2:49, he said to them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Then it says, "And he went down with him and came to Nazareth," watch it, "and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Mama knew that something was going on. Wasn't real sure what it was. But something was going on. Luke 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and man." Luke 2:40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Mary was trying to figure all this out in her heart and in her mind. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am." What Mary had to ponder. Then the throngs began to follow him, following her son. They gathered around him everywhere he went. One day, Mary went with the Lord and the disciples to a wedding in Cana, and I'm not sure what brought them there, and maybe Nathanael. The Bible says Nathanael was from Cana, so the speculation is that it was one of Nathanael's family members that was getting married there, and the Lord and the disciples came to be there with him. And Mary had seen all the things that son of hers could do, saw that he could do about anything, and no doubt she was proud of her kid, just like all you mothers are. Man, there's about nothing that boy puts his hand to he can't do. I mean, he's quite a boy. You know, mothers love to brag and show off on their children. Nothing wrong with that. Probably here no different with Mary. The host of the wedding came to Mary and told her that, Jesus came and so many people followed him. Now we've got a big crowd and we're out of wine. What are we going to do? Is there anything Jesus can do? You know, what can we do? And when they wanted wine, it says in John 2:3, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Like, it's your, you need to do something about it. And you ever notice, he didn't say, that's impossible. You don't know what you're asking. He didn't say all that. Hey, has anybody over the years noticed how proud Jewish mothers are of their children? Now, a Jewish mama, in Miami, I was around a lot of Jewish people. And I did a thing called Pepe Fields House Party on Miami Beach. And I'd sing there. I'd go, it was like they had a couch and the ladies on the radio and TV and talking to me. And I bought a, I don't want to go down that route. I bought a, a tuxedo and had a cowboy hat, and I'd sing Glen Campbell's song. Anyway. But a Jewish mama, when they introduce their sons, say, this isn't my, they won't say, this is my son, Howie. They say, this is my son, the doctor. Or, this is my son, the lawyer. Is that right? But proud. I'm sure she was a proud mama. And she figured if anybody could do it, Jesus could do it. So Mary here, in our text, she pops up and evidently volunteers her son, the miracle worker, to furnish them some wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Of course, the Lord here, wine is a type of blood and a type of the Spirit. He's foreshadowing his coming crucifixion on the cross. He said, mine hour is not yet come. The Son of Man would soon shed his blood for all of mankind. And notice he didn't tell Mary that it was impossible or even anything difficult for him at all. What's that all about? My. Mary saw him perform his first miracle right here at Cana. The Lord just nonchalantly turned about 120 gallons of water into wine. Duh. Man, the last time I saw that much wine was probably at a wedding reception in Batesville back when I was a teenager. You don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, but Mary thought she had seen it all now, and her little boy had grown into a man, and the Holy Spirit had descended upon him at the River Jordan, beginning his ministry, and Mary was still pondering this man, her son, conceived of the Holy Ghost, this holy thing that she carried inside her. What was coming next? What was coming next for my little boy? Where are you going, my little one? Where are you going, my baby, my son? Turn around and you're two. Turn around and you're four. Turn around and you're a young man going out to save the world. You and I can't save the world, but you and I can tell folks about the one who can. Mama knew that something was going on. She noticed that the more the throngs of people would follow him, it seemed like the more that the rulers of the synagogues resisted him and the Pharisees spoke out against him. She heard the talk and she heard all the accusations. She heard the murmuring and the whispering. They were continually putting out hate speech, telling lies on her precious son, began to set him up with false accusers. And all he'd done was good. Gave sight to the blind, cleansed the lepers, made the lame man walk again. Wow, made the dead to live. Lazarus, come forth. The world was laughing him to scorn. Mary was so grieved in her heart. She was going through some pain. The jubilation was now turning toward grief and pain. But you know, not all the rulers rejected him. A fellow named Nicodemus saw it and told the Lord. He said, we know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. He had sense enough to understand. Oh, but the religious crowd. You got to watch out for the religious crowd. That Jewish religious leaders, they were livid. And when they finally had him arrested. When that occurred, Mary's heart broke in two. Mary thought, what happened? What did he do? She knew that everything her precious son had done was wonderful miracles. And now they've arrested him. And as she watched the crowd, her heart began to fill with sorrow, and she remembered. Then she remembered back what Simeon had told her before. He had said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Mary's pride and joy, her beautiful son was being crucified when they pierced her baby's side. She felt that sword go through her own soul also. My mama lived to be about 97 and said one of her greatest fears was to have to bury one of her children. God blessed her with that. John 19:25. They've got Jesus up on a cross and all the disciples despondent, dejected. It says in John 19:25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then saith he to the disciple," that's the one he loved, "said, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home." John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Most theologians agree. He's the one who was leaning on the Lord's breast at supper time. John, the disciple loved, is a type and a picture of the church. You know, sometimes someone will ask, a Bible student will say, "Well, whatever happened to John? I mean, all these things are going on in the Acts of the Apostles and everything's going on. But where was John? What happened to John?" John was taking care of the Lord's mother. The Lord loved his mother. My. You know, Mary never claimed to be deity. Some of the religious orders today are trying to deify Mary. But here's what Mary said. In Luke 1:46, she said, "And Mary said, 'My soul doth,'" Jeremiah talked about this in Sunday school. "Mary said, 'My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary knew that she needed a Savior just like you do, just like I do. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Listen, there's no greater thing, no greater blessing this morning than to be a mother. You have that responsibility. I know dad's the head of the home, but mama's in charge of the family. Blessings are upon the head of every godly mother. If you all stand up this morning. If you're here today and your mama's living, you need to call her, go see her. Hug her neck and tell her that you love her and you appreciate her. Because not all of us have a mama living today. We don't all have that. Oh, how I wish I could go see my mama today. Love her. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ and your mama's in heaven and she prayed for you and prayed for you while you were here on earth, it's about time you came to Christ so you can see her again. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" You just say, I need to be saved. Say, "Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the equation. Repentance toward God. You're sorry for what you are and you're turning to God with that problem. Then you're placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Him. Ask Him to be merciful to you, a sinner. He won't refuse you. Ask it in Jesus' name. And then you go tell somebody. You go call somebody. Call your mama. Say, Mama, I just got saved. Call somebody who's prayed for you. Always been there for you as we sing.